Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. From Within Podcast is back. Episode number 25. The FYA recap is out now. So please do yourself a favor and go support their podcast. Also, if you head over to fromwithinrecords.com, there are available leftovers. So please go pick something up while you still can. And if you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up X, Instagram, and click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. It's 2024. First episode of the year. I'm so excited to be able to be here for another year and provide some great content. Working on a lot of fun stuff. We got more vlogs, more in-person interviews coming, booking more shows, which should be fun and interesting. And the MMA show will be back. Jeff and Nate, they're out there doing their thing, but we will bring them back for the MMA show. This year is getting crazy. We got UFC 300 right around the corner, and it's going to be insane. So please expect a podcast on that. The MCU's brewing. We have Echo, Madam Web right around the corner. So you know our good friend Tyler Short will be returning very soon. Probably sooner than you think. But yeah, I'm just so excited to be able to be here for another year, and I appreciate everyone's continued support. So thank you. Subscribe to the podcast. Go subscribe to the YouTube. I hope you enjoy all the vlogs that I'm going to be putting out. The Bogota series was fun. I still think about how awesome that trip was, and I'm looking forward to doing more traveling for hardcore. But I appreciate all your support, and I'm looking forward to being able to continue to do this for the rest of 2024. But on today's episode, we had to track down our good friend James Cordero. Plays in a band called Tiger Splitter. They just released a new single titled Ronin's Blade. And I hope all of you who are not familiar at this point, please hit pause, go boot up your Spotify, your Apple Music, your Tidal, YouTube, Bandcamp, or whatever, and go stream Ronin's Blade. It's an awesome single. Nice way to introduce us to the new music coming out next week, right? January 17th, their new record, Deadliest Game, will be releasing. So I think the single is an awesome way to get us excited for the record. So go stream that and then come back here and listen to James and I talk about the band, future plans, and all great things. I really enjoyed my conversation with James. He's a good friend of the show. And like I said in the episode, the door is always open for Tiger Splitter. I'm such a fan, and I hope great things for them in 2024. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome James Cordero to the show. Recording. Welcome back to the podcast, James. How's it going?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm happy to have you back on the podcast. I've been a fan of Tiger Splitter since I first discovered you guys like years ago, and I'm just happy that here we are in 2024 and there's new music, and it seems like there's a whole lot of new stuff going on with the band.
Oh yeah, it feels good to be back on the podcast. Been keeping up, and it just feels good to kind of show everybody what we've been working on and all this time, and starting everything kind of back from scratch and writing songs and just rewriting everything. Feels good to finally get ready to put it out there.
Yeah, and for a minute, I was like deeply concerned because, like I said, I'm like a big fan of the band, but I feel like from when the last time you were on the podcast to now, I was just always just kind of wondering, like, man, I hope they don't like decide to hang it up, or I just hope they just don't decide to stop doing music, because I, you know, just love the music that you guys had put out, you know, so much. So I always just had you know, like a lot of faith in what you guys were doing. So just those has it almost been like 2 years?
It's been about 2 years.
Yeah,
in that time it was just, I guess, still the everyone getting sick, and then guys can't really practice, and mm-hmm. takes a long time. A few of our members live in Odessa, so making the trip back and forth. But we never talked about like hanging it up, and it was just more just cooking.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we were able to let you guys cook, because you guys had put out a new single right on the 1st of January, which I thought was awesome. A great way to start off the year. Can you talk about this whole writing process and like what the past 2 years has been like leading up to this new record that's coming out?
Yeah, it's been fun, because we got to just fully connect with each other, and everyone's throwing in their own influence, and in the songwriting process, like everyone has like a huge say into it. It's been so fun. And then recording was really fun. We recorded with Jonah. He plays drums with us, and we also play an aneurysm together. So it was just a comfortable experience, and it was just fun.
And can you talk about how long did the writing process take? What was it, a pretty quick process for you guys, or did you guys just like take your time?
We usually we'll get together and kind of get like a skeleton of a song going, and then everyone will go sit on it and throw in riffs in the group thread, and really the next time we see each other it's like, okay, this is how it should go, and then we crank it out from there. So I guess kind of quick, but we like to take our time and kind of just marinate on some stuff. Okay. And then especially with this new stuff, we like really wanted to bring in some different kind of influence. And I don't know. I feel like it was a fun new step in our writing process too.
And can you talk about the new record? Because honestly, you guys, for like, to full transparency, there's a single out now, but you guys have already sent me the whole record, but I just listened to the music. I don't even know the name of the record.
Oh, yeah. It's called Deadliest Game, and the whole thing's coming out on the 17th, I believe. Or at least it'll be out digital on the 17th, and hopefully plans on doing stuff like physical media, which is always cool, but I'm just excited to put it out so everyone can hear it.
Yeah, just no, if I'm being honest, when you guys were teasing that there's new stuff coming out, I was really nervous because, things move so fast in the world, and especially in hardcore, right? There's always new bands popping up, and, people's, flavor changes, and I was just wondering. I was like, man, it's been about 2 years. I hope, like, I'm really into like what they're putting out. And when you guys sent the record over, I was just so stoked. I was like, this is awesome. I was like, okay, if that's what it took for me to get new music, I had to wait 2 years. Like, this was like well worth it. Like, I was just so happy.
No, hopefully the wait between new music won't be 2 years or any longer periods than that. But I was excited to hear that you were into the new stuff we were writing. It's been really, really fun writing with those guys. And I've been in a band with our guitar player, Eric, for decades now. So it's been fun.
Okay. And can you talk about how you guys decided to choose Ronin's Blade for the single?
Well, we had it down. We have five tracks on the Deadliest Game, and it was always down between Ronin's Blade and a song called Forced to Exist, and kind of just unanimous decision went with Ronin's Blade, kind of last minute. And I think we were all just really anxious to get new music out. So as soon as everyone decided Ronin's Blade, it was like, okay, we'll put this one out.
Yeah, and definitely,
I feel like it's a good introduction into the newer stuff we're writing, in a sense, kind of.
Yeah, and it kind of brought me back to the first release, you know, because it starts off with the sample, and I'm like, all right, cool, like I'm stoked that they're still, you know, bringing out like the six samples in the songs.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for sampling and a good sample in a song, and that's always the fun part.
And for people who may not be familiar, can you talk about where that sample comes from in Ronin's Blade?
It's from a movie called Sword of Desperation. And the sample part takes place during like a sword fight between a guy and a sword master. And he's telling him, you know, it's foolish for us to be fighting like this. And he responds with, you know, you're in my way, so I have to kill you. And I don't know, big fan of sword fights. They're always cool. And we had saw that and I was like, man, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's awesome.
So I like to, there's always, the fun part is seeing like the ideas of what samples get left on like the cutting room floor of like what we thought might work. But I like the ones we picked, like, those are always a fun addition to like the music.
Okay. And can you talk about who did the artwork? Because I was just so blown away. I think that the artwork for the new record is just so sick.
Yeah. It's our friend Lance Staggs. He's a tattoo artist here in Lubbock at Influence. And I've known him for years, and he's always been such a killer artist. He did my back piece is a big tiger head that he had painted, and we had recently just finished that up. And we had played in a backyard at a show, one of our kind of first shows, like steadily back, full lineup and everything. And he hit me up the next day and was like, hey, I started painting this, and I didn't think it was going to turn into that, but it's so cool. I've sat and stared at it for a little while.
Yeah, no, I'm still banging that drum. I feel like I'm like having to like remind my friends. I'm like, yo, like this band from Texas just put out some new music. And that's like the first thing that gets brought up is like the artwork. Like, holy shit, that looks insane.
Yeah, he did it all. I believe it was digital, and he would send us step by step, and it just kept getting crazier and crazier. I didn't know what kind of direction he was going, but we showed him the record and all the recordings and let him paint kind of accordingly.
Yeah, you got to put that on a t-shirt or a hoodie or something.
That would be so cool. I want to do some hoodies with that design on it. And then I'll probably have some stickers printed up soon. We're playing with Madball on the 18th here in Lubbock with Will to Live and Exit Strategy. So that'll be a fun show.
I think it's cool that Will to Live is an active band again, because I never thought that would happen again.
Yeah, the last time I saw Will to Live in Lubbock, I was a teenager, 20-something years ago.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was a scary show. So getting to play with them in 2024 it's pretty cool. It's really cool, actually.
Yeah, and also you know, I have a buddy that plays in Exit Strategy, so shout out the homie Josh White. So I think that's a pretty good package. Two great bands.
I'm excited for it to come through Lubbock. Lubbock's kind of been on. He was in a slump for a while, but it's it's been building up, a lot more people kind of going to shows, seeing new faces, so it's been a plus. So I hope it's a good turnout, because it's going to be a really fun night.
Yeah, I hope that, like, you know, that's like a kind of like a snowball effect, right? Kids will roll out, you know, see you guys, right, local band, and then just to know that, you know, these bigger bands are willing to come through, right? Like Legendary Madball and, you know, Will to Live is an awesome band from Texas. So I hope that, like, does like more good things for the scene out there.
Oh yeah, I hope so. But it's been on the up and up, and it's been real fun.
Yeah, because whenever I think of Lubbock, I think of do you remember that band Tripwire?
Yeah. Are you talking about that YouTube video where it's like he's like waving a flag and kind of a packed room in Lubbock?
Yeah, no, like, but just the band, because aren't they from Lubbock? X Tripwire X.
They're from
Corpus Christi.
But there's a old video of Tripwire where they're like playing at this venue here called The Way. And that was the first time I saw Tripwire, was at that. It was like a church just run by like a hardcore dude.
Yeah. I feel like that's not that common these days, right? Because I feel like back in like the early 2000s, like Christian hardcore was like a way bigger deal.
It was the fun part. That was the funny part about that venue, was there'd be hardcore shows with bands that really were not religious, and then like another, like two nights later, you might have like I don't know any example, but like a super like heavy like Christian metal band, and it's like woof.
Yeah, I'm always curious too, because especially out here, that label Face Down Records, right? They're not too far from where I'm currently at, and there's just so many awesome bands. Like I think about bands like No Innocent Victim, which I think like their music still holds up to this day, and I'm just like always curious about like how did like that label with so many awesome bands just kind of fade away? It's really strange.
Yeah, I was wondering like if they had like, are they still putting bands out? Are they doing anything?
If I'm being honest, I kind of go to their website like every now and then, and it's just so foreign to me that I just leave, because it's just you know, nothing that I even know about. And like I try to check stuff out, but it's just not really my thing. I feel like just like sonically, they just went in like a whole different direction.
How long does it take you to like, if you're listening to something new, to be like, okay, maybe this isn't for me?
You know, it just it's very different, right? So it just depends. So I like to give things like multiple tries, right? Because I feel like things like really hit when I'm driving. I feel like that's when I'm like kind of like, you know, alone in my metal box, and I can, even though I'm driving, I feel like I just kind of hear the music like different. So that's where I like to really, you know, put music to the test to see if I actually like it. Sorry, let me listen to this while I'm driving. But you know, I'll listen to stuff like, you know, like if I'm at work, but then also I'm like very distracted, so I'm all obviously working, or even if I'm just at home, let me just put this record on to see if it hits. So I like to give things like multiple different listens, because it's not always the same result.
Right.
Yeah, because there's songs that, like for instance, I'm really into K-pop, and a lot of the times new music will drop at like 3 a.m. like my time, so I'll like wake up early and be like, all right, cool, like new music's out, like let's check it out, and I'm like half awake, and there'll be times where I'm like, okay, that was okay, but then as I'm listening to it more and more throughout the day, I'm like, wow, this is actually really good. I was just like, you know, obviously half asleep, that's why I thought it was just okay, but no, this song is amazing.
Nice.
But
that's funny. I always wonder like how people listen to new music. They, if there's ever something they listen to and it's like, eh.
Yeah, you know, like I understand that people work so hard, right, to just even, you know, write music, but to put the effort into like record it and put it out there. So it's like, I don't want to be too judgmental. So I always like to try to give everything a, like a fair shake.
Mm-hmm. No, that's how I feel. It's scary enough putting feeling into music and then recording it and putting it out there so everyone can hear it.
Yeah. It, you know, how has the reception been for Ronin's Blade?
It's been cool. It seems like everyone digs it. So I'm excited for the whole thing to come out and hopefully it'll carry on. And I don't know. I'm just stoked people are even checking it out.
Yeah, no, for sure. I, like I said, like I was such a fan of the band, and I hope more people, you know, through you coming back on the podcast are able to find that record and, you know, listen to guys' music. Cause like I said, I think what you guys are doing is awesome. And I'm definitely stoked to be able to, you know, hear new music from you guys. So I'm really stoked on it. And I think like once more people listen to it, I think they'll be into it too.
Hell yeah. Thanks.
Can you talk about the final Hope for Shelter? Cause when I looked at that lineup, there's like some really awesome bands. Like I was really surprised to see a band like Flawless Victory on the lineup, which is like a throwback for me. Cause dude, like I'm not even kidding. I'll show you before we hang up here. I have a Flawless Victory shirt from way back in the day hanging back here.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, it was crazy. We had talked to Devin and George from Days of Rage, and they were like, hey, does Tiger Splitter want to play? I said, yeah. And then as soon as I asked the guys, our guitar player, Eric, he plays bass and Ivy League. And he was like, yeah, I'm down to play because we'll be there. And that's how I found out Ivy League was on the Hope for Shelter. And it was just a whole day of just listening to really good bands from Texas, and then like throwbacks like Flawless Victory, Spit My Rage, shout out them. Everyone had a good set, like every band there, and it was just a fun day. And then Ivy League to end it out was epic.
Dude, I love that band.
Yeah, that band is so good. Did you see the live video of it where Josh Huff yanked up the security guard?
No, I didn't even know there was live footage from it.
Oh yeah, I'll shoot it over. The name escapes me, but he had filmed it, like just about everybody's set at that fest, and yeah, that Ivy League set was crazy. I don't really know what happened. I think like it looked like a scuffle between security. And I just saw Josh Huff yank up this guy from his collar, pull him up on stage.
It's crazy. Yes. Sometimes, you know, security just like, and I get it. It's so foreign, you know, for people who aren't, you know, in the realm of like hardcore or punk music when they're like hired to do this job and they see like this aggressive music, right? Like it probably looks so crazy, but they don't realize that like it's like this weird like controlled chaos, and like everybody understands what's going on, and it's not as crazy and dangerous as people think it is.
Yeah, I think that, and then I think from an outside looking in, it would look crazy and chaotic, and maybe you feel the need to step in, but for like 100% of the time, it's usually normal stuff and really no need for kind of security. But
yeah, there's not much you can do when you're like these like more like professional places, which is fair. Like I understand, like I don't hate it, but sometimes like yeah, they just like kind of like overstep their, you know, their job title.
Yeah, that guy, it did in the video, it did look kind of pushy. So
yeah, last time I saw Ivy League, funny story, I was at Disneyland and I was dating this girl and she broke up with me in Disneyland, and I was like, damn, that sucks. But all I could think about was like, dude, Ivy League is playing Chain Reaction, like I'm so excited. So I think if they didn't play that night, I probably would have been a little more bummed out about like the situation, but As soon as she broke with me, I was like, all right, cool. Have a nice life. I got to go to Chain. So I like booked it. It was like weird timing. I like booked it to Chain. I missed every band, but made it in time for Ivy League. And it was awesome.
That is awesome. That sucks getting dumped at Disney.
Dude, I've been to Disney so many times. Like I've had so many good memories, a lot of bad memories. It's fine. I love that place. It's wild, but you know, when it's down the street and my friends and I go so often, it's just like, you know, shit happens.
That's so crazy. I've never been to Disney. It seems like there's so many people there.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's insane because obviously it's like a big tourist destination. So for when you go to that part of town, right, that part of Anaheim, it's way different than the rest of Orange County because it's just like this. It's like this very interesting, like, touristy area in the center of Anaheim, and it's like it's in this crazy bubble. They've crafted it in a very specific way. And it's, you know, it's fun. I recommend you going to one of the Disney parks, either Disneyland or Disney World at some point.
That'd be cool to check it out. I know my girls would like to.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's crazy because I've been so many times, but there's always something fun to do, right? Every trip might not be the most magical and amazing thing because we're there so often, right? It can't be, you know, 10 out of 10 every time, but when we go there, like, if we want to have fun, we can. So it just depends. And even with like as bad as like the crowds can get, like we've been there enough times and we know what we like and we know you know, friends, and we can, you know, do whatever. We always manage to make the best out of you know, even like the most crowded day.
Ooh, yeah, I don't know. It looks so crowded there, but so fun at the same time.
Yeah, it seems a little dangerous if I'm being honest. When you're like there's times when people all decide to leave the park at the same time. Like maybe right after the fireworks might be the worst time, but it's just like there's so many people compact in this one area. It's like luckily, it's like, you know, there's like heavy security just to get into the park, so your chances of crazy stuff happening are very slim. But if anything were to happen, I'm like, yeah, this would be a disaster because there's just so many people.
Yeah, that's good. We should keep the security at the Disney World and not at the Hard Rock.
Yes, less security in Hardcore, more security at Disney. I like it. I always get a little weirded out when I go to, you know, Hardcore shows, and I get it too, because like I've been to so many, and when I'm just like, all right, I hope these security guards know what they're in for. But then you see people like getting all freaked out over people just like stage diving, like simple stuff like that. Not even like people crowd killing, but when they see people like stage diving, they're like freaking out.
Yeah. It's hard telling at our like bigger venue kind of if stage diving is allowed or not. And even if it is, like, there's no one to dive on, as if no one will catch you.
Yeah, that's the sketchy part. Like, I've done stage dives where I'm like, all right, there's a decent amount of people. I just got to, like, strategically land on them. And it's scary. It's obviously way easier when there's, like, you know, a packed out room and there's really nowhere for people to run and not catch you. That's, like, the saver times to do it. But yeah, when the room's not packed and there's a chance that you could hit the floor, it's scary.
Yeah, I've hit the floor a few times. It's never fun.
Yeah, I felt like I broke my arm one time. It was Sound and Fury 2011. This was when I was at the Earl Warren, and this band from Milwaukee, what the hell, Focus Minds. They're playing, and I was walking in as they were playing, and they're covering Righteous Gems, Iron Mind, and I was just like, "Oh shit, this is awesome!" Like, I like this band, and they're covering a band that I love. So I remember I got on stage and I ran as fast as I could across the stage. And I swear I jumped as high as I could and did a front flip. And inside like the Earl Warren, it was like concrete floors and everybody moved. And I like landed on my arm and it was like super tingly. And I was like, oh shit, I think I broke my arm. So that one failed stage dive, I like sat out for like half the day because I was just concerned about my arm. And luckily I didn't break it, but I swear it felt like I broke it.
Oh, that's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
Like you broke something.
Especially now because I'm like older and I have like real like responsibilities and I'm not some like reckless like young kid anymore. So it's like, yeah, that kind of stuff. Like I would never do that today. If like, if I walked into a room and a band was covering Righteous Jams, I'm definitely going to sing along. I'll mosh, but there's no way I'm going to just try to do the highest front flip off the stage that I could. Yeah. Not today.
I'd love to tell you, I would say the same thing, but we saw a Bitter End with Gorilla Biscuits in Austin a few months back. And that was the first stage dive I've done in a long time. And it was during Phantoms, and you got a stage dive to Phantoms.
Man, I love Bitter End. I have a Climate of Fear shirt like right here that like I just don't want to wear anymore because I'm just like, all right, I'll probably never get this shirt again. And like that record is like one of my favorites. So I was like, all right, I'm going to wear it, you know, every now and then. But before I would wear it like whatever, but now it's just like, yeah, it's like a little more rare.
I would say arguably Bitter End's my favorite hardcore band personally. It's so good.
Yeah, no. It's just one of those, like, when I think about Texas, they're definitely a band that always comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like them, obviously, bands like Power Trip. And even the you know, Fugitive is finally getting out more, which I think is sick.
Yeah, so I think I saw that they're playing some dates out in California. Are they playing anywhere near you?
Yeah, they're literally playing in Santa Ana, which is like maybe like 20 minutes from where I'm at.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's going to be tight.
Yeah, for sure. I'm stoked for them to get out and start playing more shows. So, but even, you know, you're wearing that Judiciary hoodie. Shout out to Judiciary. They're hitting Japan pretty soon, which yeah, I think is sick. They're
playing in Japan in February, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yeah, Texas has always been doing cool stuff. Yeah, I hope, you know, I would love to see Bitter End again. I'm trying to think of the last time I saw them. It's been a minute.
Yeah, the last time we saw them was with Gorilla Biscuits, and then a year before that, we saw them with Terror, and there's some other bands, but they all escaped me right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I literally cannot remember the last time I saw them. Huh. I remember. It had to have been Sound and Fury 2010 they played. And it was so sick. Because I remember I had a jailbroken iPhone. And there was like this live streaming service back then. I think it was called Quick. And I remember I was on the B9. I was like, hey, I'm on my iPhone 3G. I'm going to live stream Bitter End set. And I remember I like maybe got through like half of like the first song and it just was so bad. I just pulled the plug. I was like, this is not worth it.
That would have been a good show to be at though. Sound and Fury, you said 2010.
Yeah. Which at this point, damn, it's like we're in 2024. That I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, there's times. I was talking with the drummer of In Aneurysm named Sid, and he had asked me when the first time I'd played a show with a band on stage. I was like, that was like 14. He's like, oh, like 20 years ago? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I was in diapers. I was 1 year old when that happened. And I was like, damn, that's kind of weird. But it made me laugh really hard.
Yeah, I feel like at like the older we get, like the faster time moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this 2023 was like a blur.
Yeah, you know, I was going through like all like I was like uploading a bunch of photos to the cloud, and there was things that I like took pictures of that I totally forgot happened in 2023. I was like, God damn, I didn't even realize, you know, that I did some stuff, like, you know, just like hanging out with like certain friends. I was like, I remember going out to like, you know, eat at this certain restaurant, but I didn't think it was this year. I thought it was like, you know, like way before that, but. Yeah, so much shit happens, and that's why I always try to enjoy every moment, right? Just like, I seriously feel like it's just like, I can't believe we're like pretty much halfway through January. It's like, damn, I thought, like, you know, it feels like New Year's just happened.
Yeah, I feel like New Year's was maybe 2 days ago.
Yeah,
not so. Even. But it goes by quick.
Yeah, and. Going back to Tiger Splitter, was there a particular reason why you guys decided to drop the record on the 17th?
I think really it's kind of just over anxious. We're just really ready to put it out. And then we're playing that show with Madball on the 18th. And so maybe give people a little bit more to listen to, kind of get more active at the show.
And are you guys going to treat that Madball show, you know, like your record release, or are you guys planning to do like a proper record release show for the record?
No, I would think if we were going to do like a record release show, it would be like if we were going to do some like physical media and then get some bands together from the area and make like a big show out of it.
And would you guys do it in like Lubbock proper or?
Probably so. Yeah, we would usually play in Odessa also, but they're kind of between venues right now. And the last time we played in Midland, it was at a, like a club. It was cool, but it looked like a nightclub.
Was there like, is there like an age restriction on that too, when you're playing in a venue like that?
Sometimes, yeah. Usually they won't let like kids or and stuff in the bar, but I'm sure, I don't know if any younger people have any trouble getting in, but the venue here, Jake's, it has a bar, but it's all ages. Mm-hmm. So that helps out.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really, cause obviously like I'm over 21. So I never really think about, oh, like age restrictions when it comes to shows, but I've definitely seen it make a difference, right? It have like a negative effect on a show where more people would show up, because you don't realize, like, you know, like there's so many people under 21 that go to shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to say, especially here in Lubbock, like who's gonna show up and who's not, but mostly it's a bunch of younger people. Or they look younger than 21.
Yeah, well, I always say that, you know, those younger kids are the driving force of the scene, right? They're the ones that are going to carry the torch after we're long and gone. So I always think it's cool when there's like new kids popping up, or, you know, younger kids are finding hardcore in whatever way and have an interest and, you know, show up and hopefully at some point are able to contribute.
Yeah, there's been a lot more people, you know, kicking up bands, or we have a guy who does a zine out here, and seems people want to be more active, so that's definitely a plus.
Yeah, no, I think that's sick. I always try to encourage everybody. It's like, hey, like, do anything to, you know, contribute to the scene, right? You know, start a zine, start a band, book a show, repost a flyer. That's one thing that I always tell everybody. It's like, hey, it ain't that hard to click, you know, retweet, or, you know, just add it to your story. You know, it makes a difference, even though it might not seem like it. It definitely does.
It definitely does. And a lot of those things you said are just free. Just like the flyer, share it, show up to a show, take pictures. If you like shooting pictures or video, or there's so much stuff you could do.
Yeah. I always laugh at the discourse when it comes to the photographers, because out here there's so many photographers, and you know, no hate, do your thing, but I always just laugh that somebody, I forget who posted it, but there was that meme of like all these photographers on stage, and it was just like, we need doctors and plumbers, and oh my god, I just think that's so hilarious. But yeah, there's no shortage of photographers, which I think is cool, because just like the bands, right, there's going to be something for everybody, because I don't like every photographer's like work when I see it. I obviously have my favorites, but for the, you know, for all the photographers that I don't like, I'm sure that they have their own fan base. So I try not to go too hard on it, because I'm you know, I guess I could be included in that category too, because sometimes I'll go out to shows and I'll bring my camera, and you know, I guess I'm lumped in there. Like I'm not a photographer. Like I go out and I'll film stuff for my YouTube channel, which is a little different, but I get it. So that's why I never want to try to knock, you know, people with a camera, because I'm definitely one of them. But I get it. I get why people get so upset, but it's just like, I think it's funny. It's not that serious, if I'm being honest.
I don't know. I've never really seen a bunch of photographers like at shows around here in Lubbock. There'd be like the occasional, I think, average one or two, but.
Okay. All right. Anybody listening, any photographers, take advantage of that. Leave California, shack up in Lubbock, and be the local photographer.
Yeah, there's, you'd have the job instantly almost.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, I remember I went to a show because there was this band, Anti. They're playing. And I'm a huge fan of that band, Anti. And I wanted to go out and just get some footage of them and put it in my vlog. I was just there minding my own business, and some guy with the camera comes up to me, and he's like interrogating me. I was like, this is really weird, because I was just like, I was just minding my own business, and this guy comes up to me. He's like asking me like 20 questions. He's like, what kind of camera is that? So I'm like telling him about my cameras. It's nothing crazy. It's literally this camera that I have right here. It's you know, it's just like my Sony, right. Nothing crazy, just whatever, you know? And I'm just like filming, and he's just like, you know, what kind of camera is that? Where are you from? Like, is this your first show? And I was just like, what the hell is this guy's problem? And he was like, just asking so many questions. Like, this is the weirdest thing. I was like, I'm just minding my own business. And I think he, because I'd never seen him before. He's never seen me before. So I think he thought I was like some like new photographer on the block. And I was like, no, dude, I'm just a guy here to see Anti. It's not that deep. But yeah, it's really strange. There's might not be a lot out there, but out here, there's so many photographers.
Is there like photographer beef?
If I'm being honest, I don't know. I'm really antisocial, so I try not to. I don't really like getting into drama, but I'm sure there is. I'm sure, right? Just like with anything, right? And there's always something going on.
I would think so. It's just,
yeah. Can you imagine? Like, you go to a hardcore show and people want to beef you over your photos or your camera.
Why would you let him take a picture of you while you were playing? You know, we're beefing.
I'm sure people get really weird about stuff like that. But like I said, I just try to. I like to stay under the radar, just like pop in, you know, get a couple videos, and you know, just stay out of everybody's way, because there's some people. What show was I at? There was like a show where like some, like I saw this. This girl get on stage, and she's like standing in front of like the guitar player to try to hit like a flick of the drummer during their set. And I was just like, I think this is like pretty bad. I don't know if you're supposed to do that. Like mid song, she's like, she crawls up on stage mid song and she's like, kind of like snaking her way through the other members just to get to the drummer. I was like, this is really strange. And it wasn't my show. So I was like, all right, I was like, I'm not responsible. I don't have any authority here. So I'm just going to stay in my lane and just continue to film the set. But I was like asking like the other people, I'm like, hey, is that normal? Like, is that okay? And they're like, no, that girl's crazy. That's not supposed to happen. Like she is like no respect. It was so strange.
That's crazy. Especially didn't like unplug everything trying to sneak back there.
She came pretty close, if I'm being honest. And I can guarantee you those photos are not sick. She was, yeah, it was just like one of those ones where she was just kind of like aiming her like camera in like the direction, and like she probably thought she was getting some like artistic like shot, but it was just like, dude, you're in everybody's way. And like I felt bad, like I was getting like secondhand embarrassment because I had a camera. I'm like, damn, I was like, I hope I'm never that like oblivious, because like I'm never gonna get on stage mid song and like, you know, get in between like the bass player and the singer and the guitar player just to get to the drummer. And I'm like, it was really weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a photographer, so I don't know too much on the etiquette there, but I just wouldn't want to get in anybody's way or disrupt the flow.
Yeah, for sure. Cause like, can you imagine like you're trying to sneak back to the drummer. You know, kicked like a pedal board and you just ruined the song. It was just like, oh my God. Could be disastrous.
I remember at a show in Amarillo years and years ago, I was moshing and I accidentally hit the extension cord that was like plugging everybody's like shit in.
Oh no.
It like turned off the lights of the venue. And yeah, it was awful. Everyone was like, who did that? I guess I'm just confessing to it now, but it was me. And I want to say Flawless Victory was playing that show.
Yeah, I'd be so embarrassed. I would not want to fess up. I'd be like, you know, ducking in the shadows and be like, I hope nobody saw that. That was me that, you know, unplugged everything.
I did. I did at the time. I was just like, oh, what the heck?
Yeah.
All the plugs right here. I got it.
That reminds me, I like when I was younger, and I'll never forget this. There was like a mixed bill and it like, obviously mixed bill, it brings a bunch of different crowds, but it was in the middle of like this outdoor shopping center. So on top of like the mixed bill crowd, there were like the normal customers shopping in this shopping center. And I remember there was this guy, he was like, he was really upset at the band playing and they were pretty bad. Right. So I could get why he was so frustrated. But he tracked the, you know, the power source, everything led to this one extension cord, which I thought was like really, really stupid. And he pulled the plug like mid set on that band and told them like, yo, like you guys suck. And every, you know, like all hell broke loose, right? Like they started like fighting the guy and his friend showed up and, you know, my buddy caught a stray punch and got his jaw broken because of like this guy starting trouble. And I just always think back to that because it was so crazy, because like this guy was just so bold. And, you know, if I didn't like the band, I thought they suck, I would just leave. But this guy was just so upset. He literally unplugged everything. It was crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. And like I said, my buddy caught a stray punch, got his jaw broken, which I'm like, dude, how the hell did you get your jaw broken at this random show? Cause like, and that, like, oh man, like I would be so pissed off if I went to like some like random, like, you know, crappy show and then you just end up leaving with a broken jaw. It was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he like legit had to get his jaw like wired shut.
Ugh.
Yeah. I'll never forget. It was like, we'd go to his house and he like for like months he could only have like, you know, like milkshakes and like protein shakes because he had to like eat through like a straw. It was crazy.
That would drive me crazy, like not being able to move.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then you have to wait to get your get back. He never did, though. He's not that kind of guy. He was, and that's the saddest thing too, is that like he's not even like a fighter. He was just there, just minding his own business, and somebody decided to punch him.
And that was because that guy pulled the plug on that on the band.
Yeah, the guy pulled the plug, so the band started fighting that guy and all of his friends, and I guess wrong place, wrong time. I guess they thought he was a part of like the band, so they just punched him.
Oh. That's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary, but you know. So I always try to when shit pops off, I'm like, all right, if I'm not involved, I want to get away. Like I remember I was at a show and like I'm like side stage just like watching the band and like a giant brawl breaks out and I'm like, all right, cool. Like that's over there. I should be okay. And then it started spilling towards my direction. So I'm like, all right, like I need to move because I ain't trying to get sucked into anything. Or if, you know, somebody's been waiting to sucker punch me, it ain't going to happen right now. I'm on high alert right now. And as I'm trying to, you know, get away from it, like it just keeps, I felt like it was like following me. And then some guy ended up getting like stomped out, like right in front of me. And I'm just like, how the hell does this happen? I'm trying to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. I've always tried to be aware, you know, if you're in the pit, near the pit, if a fight breaks out, even though I'm not involved, I'm like, all right, anything could happen. I just got to keep myself safe. Keep my friends safe.
Yeah. You're exactly right. I just like to hang back.
Yeah. Cause it's like, dude, like I'm going to have fun and, you know, shit happens. I get it, right? Like I've been involved in stuff. But that's like the last thing I ever want to do is get into any altercation. Like, hey, like, you know, I'm sure we could talk it out. It's never that deep, right? It's never that deep, but sometimes obviously the heat of the moment shit happens, but that's like, I'm always just like, I don't want to get to that point.
Yeah. I'd rather just hang out, listen to bands, watch people mosh.
Yeah, have a good time. Because when I go to shows these days, it's just like, I want to have fun. I want to enjoy the music. Obviously, I'm there for a reason, right? There's a band I want to see, or I'm with friends. So like the last thing I want to do is have it ruined by some knuckleheads.
Yeah. Knuckleheads, that's a good one.
But Madball on the 18th, what's the rest of 2024 looking like? Are you guys have any plans to leave Texas? I know Texas is a big state. There's a lot of awesome cities to play in Texas, but do you guys have any plans to you know, maybe come out west or head out east?
We don't have anything like planned out at all like that. We're kind of just taking shows here and there, but getting out of Texas would be fun. Like playing anywhere else would be really fun.
Yeah, there's this band which I give them a lot of respect. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but I'm not sure what part of Texas they're from, but they're a band called Jockey.
I'm not too sure.
They did a full U.S. tour, I think like 2 years ago, and I saw them out here in Orange County, and I'm like, oh, that's crazy that this band is putting in the work and just getting out there and touring. And then I saw them again in Philadelphia, which I thought, because they're on tour with my friends in a band called Stateside, and I was actually in Philly on vacation, and it just so happens that their tour date in Philly landed on like my last night there, so I was able to make it to the show. But also I was just thought about that band. I was like, damn, that's cool that they're just out there grinding, because it's not easy, right? When you're a smaller band to do a long full U.S. tour, I was like, this is crazy, but it's cool to see that they have that kind of dedication to be able to do something like that.
That's cool that you caught them like in two completely separate places, like really far apart, Orange County and
Yeah. Yeah. And just to see them put in the work, I was like, this is cool. Cause I could easily see how bands could just want to hang it up if the tour is not successful. Cause it, you know, it takes a lot to just go on tour, right? You have to, like, you know, if you have a job, you got to take time off of work and you got to have all the, hopefully have all the financials in order to, you know, make the tour go smoothly. Right. Cause it's, you know, touring is not free.
Yeah. Touring, that's heavy duty stuff. And like you were saying, like, got to make sure your job's in order. And it's pretty tough with like Tiger Splitter stuff because three of us are dads. So we have to make sure everything's in order there first.
Yeah. And to even want to be away for an extended period of time, you know, is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, between the, we have five kids between everybody in the band, between the three dads.
Mm-hmm. All right. Family road trip. There it is.
That'd be cool. Yeah, like, that'd be cool to get like a big Winnebago. Yeah. Or even tour bus style.
Yeah, get a big tour bus, get the whole family on. That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy.
But I think it'd be really cool to see Tiger Splitter in Southern California.
That would be fun. I've never been to California.
Never?
No.
Interesting.
I don't think, as far as west, I haven't. It's like the edge of New Mexico, really. Like, that's as far west as I've been. I've been to Idaho, but that's a different part.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to Texas, I've only... I drove... Me and my friends drove from here to Austin and back in like 2 days.
Ugh.
Yeah, well, it wasn't fun, but this was during the pandemic. We got so... like over like being locked down here in California. So we were just so curious what the rest of the like country was like. So my friends are like really into horror. So they're like, oh, like let's go see the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre house. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I guess that sounds cool. Whatever. Like, I'm down to go. I don't care. I'm off. Like I was off of work, like the days they wanted to go. So I'm like, it makes sense. So like, let's do it. And we went, we started in Orange County, went to Palm Springs to pick up my buddy Nate. Cause it was me, my buddy Johnny, who lives in Long Beach. I live in Orange County. So we met up in Orange County and then we went to Palm Springs to pick up my buddy Nate. And then from there we went through Arizona and then we went and we stayed the night in New Mexico. And then we did like New Mexico straight to Austin. And I like I said, I'm not really into horror. So I thought we were going to the Texas Chainsaw House from like the movie with Jessica Biel, but like they're going to like, they took me to like the old school, like the OG house. And I was so bummed out. Cause I like the whole time I was like, hell yeah, we're going to see like this other house. But I just got my movies mixed up and we went and like, we like ate in there and then we just kind of like,
it's a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like some sort of like brunch spot. It was like if you could have told me that it was just like this famous brunch spot, I would have never known that it was like tied to this like horror, like this famous horror movie. It was like in a really like interesting neighborhood too. Like it was like kind of a trip, but yeah, we literally did that and then turned around and drove back home. It was, and we did the same route. We just like, you know, Texas, stay the night in New Mexico and then just all the way back.
That's a crazy drive.
Yeah, it was really interesting too because like it felt like, yeah, because California was closed, Arizona was open, New Mexico was closed, and then Texas was like open. Mm-hmm. So we got to see like different sides of it because I remember we were in Arizona, and just by habit, right? Because like we'd been wearing masks for like so long. We like walked into this gas station and we were getting the weirdest looks because we were the only people wearing masks. Because like we didn't realize, like, oh shit, like we're in a whole different state. Like their rules are different. Because we hadn't experienced that because we had only been in California like that whole time. But that was the only time that I'd ever been to Texas. I definitely would like to go back and see more parts of Texas. I never realized, I've always heard stories about how the drive through Texas is so bad. It's so long. But leaving Texas, I drove from Austin to somewhere in New Mexico, but it felt like forever. Like, I remember we were 3 hours in and we're still in Texas, and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, that's where we're at. If we want to go to any Austin's 6 hours, Dallas is about 5 hours away, San Antonio is about 6, Houston's about 8 hours away, so we have to drive.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's true too, because all those major cities in one state, but you guys are also spread apart.
Yeah, it gets pretty boring on those drives, honestly. It just seems like you're going forever and you're still in one state.
And which cities or which scenes do you guys frequent, outside of your own?
With this, since we got everything going again, we've really played here, Midland, which is about 2 hours away, and then San Antonio. And then hopefully you're going to be playing the Dallas Fort Worth area, February sometime. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully we can play some more shows around San Antonio. I want to play with our friends in MO. They play Hope for Shelter, and it's Willie, the drummer from Ivy League. He's running a hardcore band, and they're so sick. So I want to check them out, and really, I would just like to play as much as we can.
Yeah, I would like to see you guys play with that band, Future Shock.
Yeah, I would love to play a show with Future Shock. Me and my wife play in a band called Casual Dreamer, and we're talking with Future Shock about doing some dates. Our friend Eli plays drums in that band.
Yeah, I think that band's super sick.
That band is super sick, especially live. They're just ripping.
Yeah, that's the band. I'm like, damn, I need to see them live at some point.
Hopefully they have some new stuff coming out. Hopefully they get some shows announced too. Be real exciting.
And what kind of music is Casual Dreamer?
It's like a punk band, like a 70s New York skate punk band. I play drums, and my wife does vocals and plays bass, and then our friend Casey, she plays guitar, and Casey also plays in Aneurysm with me and Jonah. Mm-hmm. So it's always fun playing shows with any combination of those bands, having to do double duty and play multiple sets in one night.
I gotta check it out.
Yeah, we, Casual Dreamer, we put out 6 songs up on Bandcamp. And then had one of our good friends do an animated music video for us. And it's my wife's first band she's ever been in, and she learned how to play bass during the pandemic. She rips.
That's sick. So
it's fun.
And speaking of Bandcamp, why haven't you guys updated the Tiger Slaughter Bandcamp?
You know, I was thinking about that earlier today. I was looking through just to see Spotify stuff, and then I went on to look at the Bandcamp stuff, and I realized that we haven't done really much anything with that. We didn't put the single on there, but probably get on there and keep everything on there updated too.
Yeah, because I still feel like that place is pretty useful. Even though I listen to probably 95% of the music on Spotify. Mm-hmm. But I still like to go to Bandcamp just to, because I love getting to check credits that people put in the information, because sometimes you don't really get to see that stuff on Spotify. Because like you can go read the about me section, but they're not really crediting everybody in that section because it's not broken down by a record like that over there on Spotify. But when you go to Bandcamp, obviously like there's like the different pages for the records or the singles or whatever. So that's why I like going there, just to see just all that extra information.
Yeah, no, that's kind of just slipped all of our minds. Like we've just been kind of just go lately with got the record recorded and finally able to play shows, and everyone's kind of just right on the same page, and it's been a kind of a roller coaster. Feels crazy that people get to hear the new stuff we've been working on.
Yeah, I'm stoked too. But you mentioned physical media earlier. Like, you guys thinking about vinyl or CDs or tapes?
I would like to do like a 7-inch, but also like tapes or anything would be cool. I would love to work with, Patient Zero Records again. They did our tapes, but we were just really excited and kind of just wanted to put it out digital and kind of just worry about physical stuff, I guess, at a later junction. But we definitely want to do 7-inch and really anything. That would be, anything would be really cool.
Got to get those hoodies.
I know. with the album art design on it, that would be crazy.
What do you guys have planned merch-wise for the Madball show?
I'm not too sure. We need to get some stuff together. Have a few ideas, but got to get everything nailed down. Get the seal of approval from everybody. But hopefully something cool. I really want to get our friend Casey to design us some more shirts. But I don't think we'll be able to have those out before the Madball show.
And is that Casey Garcia?
Yes.
Okay. Did the artwork for the first release?
Yeah, she did our artwork for the first release.
Yeah, and that artwork is sick too. So.
Oh yeah, she rules. She does all of our tattoos. Mine and my wife's tattoos, and it's always fun getting tattooed by her. She's crazy talented. Such a great friend.
Yeah. I haven't been tattooed in like, I think it's probably been like 2 years. I'm like dreading getting another tattoo.
It seems like it hurts more.
I feel like it hurts more that I'm older, if I'm being honest. Like, getting like my stomach or like my whole like front done, like when I was younger, like that was like, I thought like the worst pain, but like a couple of years, like the last tattoo I got was like this, like, this one in like my ditch right here. And like, I have like this ditch, which I don't, that wasn't painful at all. But when I was getting like this last tattoo, I was like, what the hell am I doing? I was like sitting in the chair thinking like, this is not fun. This is terrible.
Yeah. That's how I felt like when we were doing my back, like we're doing sessions on that. And it was just laying there and just, there's nothing you can do. And it just hurts.
Yeah. I've never gotten a tattoo and it not hurt, but yeah, I'll probably get a couple more this year.
I think the only tattoo I got that didn't hurt was Casey had tattooed a Sacred Heart on the back of my head, and we had used like numbing cream.
Okay.
And I legit didn't feel anything.
It would just be like really annoying because like you just get like the, the needle hitting the back of your head.
Yeah, I could just hear it. That was really it. And then I'll just lean forward and she would tattoo it, and we got it done really fast. And it didn't hurt.
How big is it? I'm curious.
About, somewhere around there.
Okay. Yeah, I want to get a crazy tattoo. I always think about getting a face tattoo, but
Face tattoos are scary.
I've never seen a good face tattoo, if I'm being honest. So that's why I'll never get a face tattoo, but probably get like, we'll get like the inside of my ear tattooed or something.
Oof, I feel like that would hurt a lot.
Yeah, I feel like it. I don't know. Whatever. I'll get something crazy. Get the inside of my ear, and I don't know.
The weirdest at some thing point. About getting my head tattooed was going bald, like going completely shaved, like down to the skin bald. That was really weird. But even the top of my head really didn't hurt that bad either.
Mm-hmm. What do you have on the top of your head?
I have like a Virgin Mary.
Okay.
My friend Travis, he does like photorealistic tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like portrait style. And he does them all with no outline, so it was just like, it was like a printer, just like started in the corner and just.
It's crazy because I can't even see it through your hair.
No, like it covers it up pretty good, but when I cut my hair short, it's always a fun surprise seeing it under there.
That's wild.
But that's about as crazy as I think I'll get up here tattoo wise. I don't think I could tattoo my face.
Yeah, me either. I think about it. Like, have you ever seen the anime Naruto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know Gaara?
Yeah.
In high school, I swear my life, I thought his forehead tattoo was cool. I was like, man, I could pull it off. I'm so glad I never did that. I would look so stupid today if I had just a giant kanji on my forehead.
Probably not. I bet it would look cool.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't think so. But I'm sure you don't have your hands. I see that you have like the sides of your hands, but
yeah, I have little chest pieces and then little demon mask on my thumbs. That's but nothing on top.
Nothing on top.
I don't know. I feel like my fingers are too small to get knuckle tattoos.
Yeah, I've never. I seriously used to sit like, what cool? Because I have like this hand tattoo, but nothing on this one. But I was used to think like, what cool word could I get on my knuckles? And I could never come up with anything. So I was like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I could never just like fully like think like that's what I want on there for. So I have the guy I work with, our other barber, he has like keep cutting, like CUTN, like apostrophe. Okay. We have a friend, he has one that says hard work. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. But I could never just really nail down like that's what's going to go down on my knuckles.
Yeah. Same here. I don't think, yeah, I think that's probably something I'll never do. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like before when I was younger, I'm glad I never got anything crazy when I was younger. Because, yeah, I used to want to do, like I said, crazy stuff, like my forehead tattooed. And which, yeah, I like think about it now. I'm like, I'm glad I never did that.
You should draw it on just to see what it could have looked like.
Yeah, I think like the crazy thing I'll probably get is like, get like my neck done. That's probably like the craziest thing. But yeah, nothing other than that.
I feel like the neck would hurt so bad, like just super tender.
Yeah, dude, I trip out because I remember there was like kids in my high school that had like neck tattoos, and I'm like, you were like 17 or 18, and you got like a crazy neck tattoo. It's wild.
How old were you when you got your first tattoo?
I was 18. Yeah.
Nice.
I like waited because, dude, there was this guy in my math. I'll never forget. I don't know his name, but I'll never forget this guy in my math class. It was sophomore year. He stood up and he asked the teacher. He's like, hey, can I show the class my back tattoo? And my teacher was so like blown away. She's like, you got a tattoo? And he explained to the whole class. He's like, yeah, like my friend does tattoos out of his garage, and he tattooed my last name on my back in custom font. And this guy lifted up his shirt and it looked like like some sort of like weird like metal font. Like I could not make out like what his last name was, and it was like the craziest thing. And I remember he took me to his tattoo artist because I was like, oh, that's sick. Like I want to get tattooed because, you know, I was young, stupid, whatever. And I remember we went to the guy's garage and I was in line, right? I guess I didn't know there was somebody else going to get tattooed before me, but it was just taking so long that I just got over it, luckily. And I was like 14 or 15 at that time, and would have made like a huge mistake. So I'm glad I didn't get some like random, like custom font on my back like that guy did. But yeah, it wasn't until my buddy Cody Cowan, who still tattoos to this day, shout out Iron Palm Tattoo in Palm Springs, California. I think my buddy Cody is definitely the best tattoo artist out in that area, but he's really good. I watched him grow as like a tattoo artist, and when I turned 18, he did my first tattoo.
Nice.
Yeah, and he still tattoos me to this day. He actually did my last tattoo.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like I'll never forget. He like he started off like tattooing like grapefruits and stuff, and then I remember he like tattooed like an X on like the bottom of my heel, which was like whatever, you know. Didn't hurt because you can't really feel shit down there, but yeah. So he tattooed. I have like straight edge across my chest.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's cool. Yeah, I've got tattooed by a couple different people over the years, but yeah, but it's always fun getting tattooed by your friends.
Yeah, it's always really good time getting tattooed by your friends.
Yeah, because like when I'm getting tattooed by people that I don't really know, it's just like I don't want to be weird and make the small talk, because I just want to let them do their job, but then like I feel like they feel pressured to make the small talk, so it's just like we're having like these I always feel like sometimes we're having these conversations that like we don't really want to have, but we feel like we have to have, so like, you know, it's not awkward, but I feel like it's just even more awkward that we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, opposed from your friend tattooing you, and then it's just everything just flows.
Yeah, because, you know, you already know each other. There's no pressure. It's just vibes.
What's your next tattoo going to be?
I haven't thought about getting a tattoo in a while. I don't know. I want to get something for my mom.
Nice.
Yeah, which I never thought I'd want to do, because like, well, you know, obviously like when I got tattoos, I wanted to get like just random traditional stuff or like, you know, hardcore band stuff. And I'm like, you know, I was like, I need to get something. My mom randomly got my name tattooed on her, which I thought was crazy. I was like, why would you do that? So I was like, all right, let me pay back the respect and get a cool mom tattoo somewhere.
That'd be cool.
I'm not sure where though, but figure it out. And my mom is a short name, so I could fit that in somewhere. You know, so it won't be that complicated.
I bet she'd like.
Yeah, she'd be stoked about it. That's definitely something that she would not expect. Because you got to remember. How old are you?
34.
Okay, so we're like right around the same age. So like when we were younger, like tattoos weren't acceptable like they are today, right? So I remember when I got my first tattoo, my mom was like, you're not going to get a job. Like nobody's going to hire you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I have a job now. And I was like, let's worry about that when we cross that bridge. But I was like, I think I'll be okay. But then fast forward to now, like, you know, everybody has tattoos. Random like grandmas at the grocery store have like sleeves and stuff, and it's not mm-hmm. it's not such like a rebellious thing to do these days to get a tattoo.
Yeah, there's a lot of tattoos.
Yeah, so, but yeah, there's always like that weird stigma. Like even like when I got my hand tattooed, I remember my friends were like, dude, is your job going to be okay with that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't care. It's nothing I can do now. It's on my hand. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, Luckily, being a barber too, I can just, it doesn't matter what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
I can just get tattooed wherever.
And how long have you been doing hair?
I've been professionally cutting about going on 7-8 years now.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I've been kind of just on and off cutting for longer than that, but cutting with a license in a shop for about 7 going on 8 years.
Yeah. Have this homie, shout out Big Worm. He used to be my barber for like the longest time. I met him just through hardcore. Met him when he lived in Las Vegas. So I used to get my haircut by him in Las Vegas. Like when we got to shows and stuff, he tried to squeeze in, get some time for him to cut my hair. But then he eventually moved to California because he has family in Whittier. So when he moved to California, I followed him everywhere he went, because obviously want to support my friend, but also he was really good at what he does. So I remember I used to drive to Corona from where I live. It's probably like 30, 40 minutes, depending on traffic. I used to drive down to Corona just to get my haircut by him. And then he became like an instructor at like this school. I forget the name of the school, but at that point he was like, all right, he's like, you don't have to pay me, but you have to be my model. So like I would have to sit there in front of like 40 people while he's cutting my hair. And it was so embarrassing, because like, I was like, I don't like just being in front of like, you know, all these people just like, you know, focusing in on us. So did that for a while. And then he eventually went to like this nice shop in Santa Ana and was getting my haircut there. And then he's, you know, like over the years, he's like, you know, gaining more prominence in like that scene. And then him and his friend, like him and some of the barbers at that shop decided to open up their own place. And then he just got so busy where like I had to book my appointment like months in advance. And I'm happy for him, and he's still like doing really good to this day, and we're still homies. But I was like, I need to find somewhere new to go, because I can't, you know, it sucks when I'm like, because my hair grows really fast. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, like I was like, I can't time it right. Like, okay, if I want my haircut, you know, I have to like book it before it's even grown. And he understood. So I ended up going to another friend, right? Because I always want to support like what my friends are doing. And luckily I had another friend who did hair, and he was newer at it. Like he was going through, through a local school out here. And then he eventually linked me up with, the person who does my hair now. Shout out to my friend Jake. And I just been going to him. So it's like, yeah, I always want to support my friends and what they do. So luckily I have some really cool friends out here that do hair.
That's fun. Yeah, doing hair is the best. I love it.
How'd you get into it?
It's kind of, it's always like fascinated me type of stuff. Grandpa mm-hmm. took me to his like old man barbershop, and just everything about it was cool. And then from there, like my mom wouldn't take me, so she wanted to cut my hair. I didn't like that, so I started cutting my own hair. And then that turned into cutting my friend's hair, and just really liking the whole process, and then just deciding to go for it for real and get licensed and do it right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, because like I'm like I just got my hair done like earlier this week on like Tuesday, and I try to understand what my friend's doing. Cause he like bust out like, you know, all these different shears, and you know, I don't know what the hell he's doing, but it's cool. He's a professional. So I'm like, all right. And it sucked too, because like I said, my hair grows really fast, and I hadn't had my hair done since June. And it's just like, for me and him, obviously he's busy. He has his own life. He plays in a couple bands, and I'm just really busy. So like our schedules are just like, you know, it was always something coming up. So we always had to keep rescheduling. And finally I was able to get my hair done, and it just felt like such a relief to, cause I used to like, my hair was so long. So I was like putting it up in a bun every day, and it was just so annoying. So to be able to finally get into the salon and get my hair done, I was just so happy.
Nice. It looks good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But it's cool.
Yes.
And do you normally just keep your hair short, or are you going to grow it out?
I had it long for a little bit. I had a come over. Got married in November, so had a
nice congrats. Haircut.
Thank you. So wanted to have a nice haircut for the wedding, and then I usually keep it pretty short, though. Like to not really worry about it.
Yeah, it's like, honestly, like, I'll get my hair done. It'll look nice for like the first week, and then I'll just wear a hat. I normally I'm always in a hat or a beanie, because my buddy's always trying to tell me, I'm using this nice like sea salt spray for your hair, and I'm just like, I don't know what the hell that is. I'm not going to buy that.
If I'm growing my hair out, I'll just throw a hat on, but it grows weird and just looks weird when it's long.
Yeah, I used to have my hair short. Like when I used to get my hair cut by Worm, I used to have my hair short, but then I just grew it out and I was like, all right, let me just keep it long for a while. So I haven't gotten like sick of it yet. I think it's probably been like maybe like 2 years since I've had my hair like this long.
Nice.
Yeah. But okay. 2024. I really do hope to see more of Tiger Splitter. Like I said, I would love for you guys to get out to the West Coast. If you guys ever make it to Southern California, please hit me up. Let me book you guys in Orange County. I think that'd be the sickest thing.
That would be sick. Yeah. If we're going to have any plan of going out there, you're gonna be the first person I hit up.
All right. I appreciate that. I'm definitely looking forward, for the new record finally getting out. I'm looking forward to merch. Whenever you make a hoodie or whatever, please put it online so I can buy one, so I can support and rep you guys out here. But I really do appreciate you taking the time to do the podcast today. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
I just want to say thanks for having me on here again, and supporting us through like all stages of this band. And I'm excited to finally put something out, and it was really fun talking to you again.
100%. Yeah, the door is always open for Tiger Splitter. So whenever you want to come back on, just hit me up and we'll make it happen.
Sweet. Hell yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time today. I appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll be back soon.